I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
All right, let's say good morning to our neighbor, Jason Cans from jasoncans.com, author of the terrific new book, Notes from the Upper Room. Get the book and also the book of devotions. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to hear your voice today.
All right. Yeah, yours too. And I was thinking as we're going through this time of craziness in America and the world, I'm like, I'm so glad that we started talking to Jason at 5:45 in the morning. Shout out to Dr. James Apple from Apple Chiropractic. Saw him at Leading with Power last week, and he even referenced, he said, hey, I'm listening there every morning to the best 5 minutes of the day. So you know you're making an impact when the folks are quoting the title like that.
That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that. Interestingly, his daughter-in-law, it works for me.
So, is that right? What do you know?
It is. Yeah.
Small world.
It's kind of fun to kind of hear that. So, yep.
My favorite Stephen Wright line, and again, we need jokes. I see Jay Anderson from IV said he's going to be posting Ole and Lena jokes on Facebook until he completely runs out. So that's good. You know, Norman Cousins, Anatomy of an Illness, said laughter helps heal, and we could all use that, right? So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the finding some levity, even in a lot of the anxiety that's going on, that some joy in the sorrow, I think is good for us. So,
and talking about how small the world is, Stephen Wright, you know, look up Stephen Wright jokes. I mean, there one morning I printed out like the top 20 of his. I mean, he's just very serious expression. It just says these great observations. One of his was that the one I remember is it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. So anyhow, lots of good Stephen Wright jokes from over the years. It is St. Patrick's Day, though, and if you were painting the world, you'd paint it green today. And I'm going to turn the tables here, Dr. Cans. I'm going to read a devotion to get your take on it instead of you reading one to me, okay?
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's Robert Morgan, fantastic devotional. I mean, if you want to learn church history in bite-sized chunks, like little bite-sized candy bars, which I know you gave up sugar a long time ago. But on this day, 365 amazing and inspiring stories about saints, martyrs, and heroes. And for March 17th, St. Paddy's Day goes like this. Our greatest misfortune can catapult us into our greatest service for the Lord. Consider Joseph and Daniel, two Old Testament teens whose kidnappings took them to distant countries where they later became God's ambassadors in strange lands. St. Patrick died on this day, March 17th, 461, a day that has since borne his name. Patrick was born about 389 in Britain. His father was a deacon and his grandfather a priest. Roman protection of England had deteriorated and bands of Irish invaders tormented coastal areas, pillaging farms, slaughtering villagers, kidnapping teens. Patrick was taken at age 16. The Irish farmer who bought him put him to tending sheep and somehow thought that all this, Patrick found Christ. He said, "The Lord opened to me a sense of my unbelief that I might be converted with all my heart unto the Lord." Following a daring escape at age 22, Patrick returned home to joyous parents who prayed that he'd never again leave. But Patrick's heart burned for his erstwhile captors, and one night he dreamt an Irishman was begging him to return and preach. After several years of Bible study, Patrick returned to Ireland as a missionary. The Irish were almost wholly unevangelized at the time, worshiping the elements, seeing evil spirits in trees and stones, and engaging in magic, even in human sacrifice performed by the Druids. "It very much becomes us," he said, "to stretch our nets that we may take for God a copious and crowded multitude." And so Patrick did, planting 200 churches and baptizing approximately, get this now, 100,000 converts. That's a lot of baptisms. Ooh. Despite a dozen attempts against his life and violent opposition from civil authorities. Finally, in his confessions, he wrote, "I am greatly a debtor to God who has bestowed his grace so largely upon me that multitudes were born again to God through me. The Irish, who had never had the knowledge of God and worshipped only idols and unclean things, have lately become the people of the Lord and are called sons of God." And there's a quote from Acts 1, 7 through 9. But you know, I just think it's helpful to learn and listen from history as we go through our own historically tough time, Jason Cans, don't you think?
I do, you know, and I think so often when we have holidays that we celebrate now, You know, we think about things like, you know, St. Patrick's Day, we think about leprechauns and green beer and that sort of thing, but we lose sight of the fact that St. Patrick was an early missionary, you know, and he followed the call of the Lord to go. A really interesting book that came out several years back called How the Irish Saved Civilization that looks at kind of this
Thomas Cahill.
What's that?
Thomas Cahill wrote that, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
You know, this slow work of Irish priests over time, and, you know, St. Patrick's work, you know, it would have been much easier for Patrick to just stay home and please his parents, and yet he followed the call, and we still feel the effects of that today. Mm.
That's very true. And just a quick word maybe from you in terms of as we go through these difficulties and the temptation to just feel overwhelmed with what we're bombarded with, do you have just a brief thought to help us toward calmness?
Yeah, you know, so I think one of the things that I've been trying to do every day is just sitting quietly for 10 or 15 minutes, just sitting in the presence of God.
Uh-huh.
And as these anxious thoughts come upon me, which they do a lot, just to kind of see them and let them pass by. And I think just to remember that we are centered in God and God's love for us will never fail regardless of what happens in the next days, weeks.
And yeah, months. Very good. Love you, my brother from another mother. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Wonderful. Look forward to hearing from you.
Jason Cans, jasoncans.com. Get his new book, Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. Is that not perfectly timed, huh? Well, it is St. Patty's Day. Happy birthday to my daughter, Evelyn.
Aww, happy birthday, Evelyn.
Yeah.
20
years old, right?
20.
She's 20, yeah, the big 2-0 today. She leaves the teen years.
Aw.
She'd like to stay.
Bittersweet.
She'd like to stay in the teen years. Yes, it is. It is.
Aww.
Turning 20 in the year 2020. Pretty cool.
Hey, there you
That's
go.
That's right. Yeah, born in 2000. So just after the Y2K scare. So that was another thing that we've faced and may remember to varying degrees. Hey, a bit of a quiz this morning. I know kids are, some kids are still in school today, and others have already wrapped it up and they're going virtual.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got 5 questions, so answer as you see fit. And it doesn't need to be competitive, but it's hard for us to do this here. By the way, I'm thinking about bringing the Scrabble board back because of, I know you're going to put this post-it things to do away from the screen, and a lot of that can be games.
Indeed.
And Caleb absolutely cleaned our clock twice, but if we can revise the rules, maybe like, Hillary and I can somehow work together against you,
maybe.
Caleb. That could make it more competitive. I'm just saying. Here we go. First question. St. Patrick was not Irish.
True.
Oh, this is true or false. I'm sorry. I assumed that.
Yes.
Well, do I have to agree or do I have to pick the opposite?
You can,
since
you
she
can
spoke
do
first?
Either one. You don't have
I'm
going to
say
either.
True as well.
You're correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Great Britain is where he's from. But he went to Ireland. Like, the whole deal was like he was abducted and then he was bought. He was bought.
Wow.
And then he escaped. And then his parents are like, okay, don't ever travel again. And then he did. And I hope I didn't give away answers. I've actually not previewed this whole quiz. Here we go. St. Patrick's Day was started in Ireland.
Not true.
True.
That's false, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So we can answer these fuller later. Okay, third question. The original color for St. Patrick's Day was yellow.
True.
False. Okay. It was orange.
False.
No.
All right. St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick himself chased the snakes away.
False.
That's a legend. I'll say false as
it's
well.
It's false. Yeah, it is false. By the way, the color actually was blue.
Oh, it was blue?
Yeah,
oh.
Blue was the original color. How did it switch
we stand
to green?
Corrected.
I don't know.
Someone was colorblind. They mixed the two up. It's fine.
I'm not keeping track of what your score is.
I'm winning.
Of course.
That's quick. She is competitive with a capital
Still
C.
Still bitter about that Scrabble,
oh, yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. The wounds. We could show you the scars.
Yeah, hurt me.
St. Patrick isn't named Patrick.
True.
False.
True. He's actually not named Patrick, so I don't know how that all goes down. Anyhow, those are some things to learn here on St. Patty's Day. And the music is just enjoyable. Well, we're going through kind of this unprecedented time in our culture. And It helps to do it, well, together but apart.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
As somebody said, it's social physical distancing, but through modern technology, we have ways to try to stay connected.
Well, yeah, right. And actually, this was something, just real quick, it was brought up in church on Sunday, too, which, again, probably our last together church, even as a small church for a while here. And we are aggregating your live stream. If your church has a live video stream, we'd love it if you would send it to us here at WWIB so we can get the word out that way. But it was said to us at church, you know what, for a lot of folks who are more closed off and shut in and don't have family with them during these times of isolation too, you can still pick up the phone and call.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can do that. You could write an old-fashioned letter maybe, but you know, send an email or pick up the phone and call someone who might not be able to get out of their home. So
yeah, no, it's a good idea. Get closer to God and closer to others as best you can. Checking in. I'm reading my Bible more, and I'm calling my mom more. So there you go. I'll be honest about that.
There you go. They're closing the libraries down, so we're frantically going to the library this morning.
So they are still open today?
No. Well, Altoona is, as far as I know.
Ellie Phillips, I believe.
Ellie Phillips,
yeah.
Eau Claire, and Chippewa are already closed. So we're going to make a frantic dash to the library this morning as soon as we can.
Yeah. There's a book I wanted to get at the Altoona Library. They close on Sunday. So I was there Sunday and they were closed.
Let me know. Maybe I'll pick it up for you.
Very good.
Well, we have this list posted on the WWIB main Facebook page, screen-free kids activities, because, again, the electronic babysitter, I know we utilize it at our home from time to time, too. But, again, as you're spending more and more time together as a family, maybe you want to find some things that say, you know what, let's turn off the electronics
yes.
for a bit.
So, lots of great ideas here. What about doing some Legos?
Yes. Always a solid choice. Card games as well. We just picked up Uno from the store when we were out over the weekend.
Get some Play-Doh or some clay and have some fun creating something.
There you go. Podcasts and audiobooks are always a good option.
And your good old-fashioned books. Coloring, chalk, or bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Screen-free activity. How about hide and seek? We can play hide and seek with our dog. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lily was doing that with Arlo the other day.
It's fun.
What about if you can go outside, some hopscotch or basketball, playing tag, painting rocks?
Yeah, I want to just jump on that because, yeah, you can, you know, you can go outside. You can take a walk. You can do different things like that. So.
Yeah. All right.
Absolutely. Glow sticks, bubble gum, bubble blowing contest, photography.
Watch the hair.
Lots of fun things there.
Something I have not done, but I guess you can make a tinfoil boat and just kind of go float.
There you go.
Find out what floats your boat.
Marvel roller coasters. My daughters have done this in the past from the bunk beds, and they're always a good time.
Make slime or decorate shirts. I know
nice.
My eldest loves doing that.
Hmm. How about a little balloon volleyball?
When the weather warms up a little bit, you can go on a bug hunt. That's always a good time.
Write and send letters, little notes. That's a good practice to have. Maybe we've fallen out of practice with that.
Yeah, do some creative things like color, cut, and paste pages.
Mm-hmm. Go on a scavenger hunt. Build a blanket fort. Do shadow puppets, or when the weather warms up a little bit, how about a backyard camp out?
We've actually been thinking about pulling the tent out into our living room already,
yes.
too. Shrinky Dinks, that's for Lily. She loves that. Screen-free kids activities, painting fingernails, finger paint with pudding. That sounds fun. I didn't pre-read this. That sounds awesome.
Nice.
Any one of a number of board games, bingo maybe, bake some cookies, fly a kite. Have your own dance party.
There you go. Puzzles. We've been stocking up on puzzles. Hands up, stands up. Do some drawings. Friendship bracelets.
Lots and lots more. Again, all of these posted at WWIB's Facebook page, Screen Free Kids Activities.
And there are other times we're just going to watch a show or two, probably.
And that's okay.
WWIB, Richard Swenson, retired doctor and a Christian futurist. Coming up.
Hi, Phil. Welcome back to Wisconsin Credit Union. Here to check your balance today?
No, I did that online where I also paid some bills.
Oh, deposit a check?
No, did that on my phone.
Oh, I bet you're here to apply for a loan.
Uh-uh. I did that on my phone, too. Already got approved.
So, why the visit?
I want to show you my new truck I got with the loan.
On your phone?
Yeah, look. My wife says the pewter winkle color really brings out my eyes.
Uh-huh.
There's lots of reasons more and more Wisconsin Credit Union members are using our online and mobile services. It not only saves them time, it's easy to use, and it's secure. And most everything you can do on your computer, you can do on your tablet or smartphone with the Wisconsin mobile app, which has received a near 5-star rating, by the way. To get started, visit your nearest office or visit us online and start saving time already.
You're sure there's nothing I can do for you today?
You could come take my pic with the new truck. It's hard to get the monster tires in a selfie.
Oh, I'll bet.
Wisconsin Credit Union. Member eligibility required. Member NCUA.
It's a WIB wake-up show, WWIB, 8:15 in the morning, 26 degrees, and a frequent guest of days gone by, but not recently. You've heard him on Focus in the Family a number of times in the past as well. Even on God's Great Outdoors, Saturday mornings here on WWIB. Dr. Richard Swenson, a retired doctor, a medical educator, and a Christian futurist, and he's on the line with us from Menominee. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to talk to you again.
Yes, mutual.
Well, we had a lot of visits in the past, and we would talk about some of your various books, Margin, The Overload Syndrome. But one of those you didn't like the title about, Hurtling Toward Oblivion, and people wonder, like, where are we at and where are we going from a medical standpoint and in terms of these kind of unprecedented times and reactions to this? Fascinated to hear your perspective.
Well, buckle your seatbelt. Okay, I've been studying these things for 35 years and 30,000 hours. And if we go back to just 20 years, go back to the year 2000, there are three events that tie together in a really interesting and captivating way. The first was 2001, and everybody remembers 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's terrorism-related. 2,000 people were killed, 25,000 injured. The cost was $4 trillion. It led to, if you include the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and so on. But the financial situation came back relatively quickly. Okay, that's one, 2001. The next one, 2008. There was a global recession and a near collapse of our economy. It was a financial crisis, and financial recessions, it was associated with the subprime mortgage problems, and financial recessions are much harder to dig out of, and so this was extremely deep and long-lasting and painful. Now let's take our current situation. This is related to a virus that became really an overnight sensation. I mean, an overnight disaster, really, truly a global pandemic. Each of these three is different, yet each are similar. They're very different, but they're extremely similar. And each of these monumental events is changing and has changed the world in a very explosive way. And I want to just say that the world will experience such events, and that is predictable. It really, in a sense, should not take us by surprise, well, especially me, because I've studied it for 30,000 hours. There's a sequence or an algorithm that reveals that such disasters and cataclysmic events will indeed take place. Not the timing of them, but the predictability and inevitability that they will take place. So let's shift to our current situation, though. This is a global event. I just mentioned that. All countries everywhere.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Something. And it reveals that our globe is tightly coupled. Mm-hmm. What I mean by this is falling dominoes. You know, you push the one, and brrrr. Now, in the past, the world wasn't tightly coupled. There were a lot of circuit breakers all over the place. There were big oceans that you had to get across. But we live in a tightly coupled world. And it has occurred with lightning speed. This comes progress, complements of progress, the speed dynamic. So if you think of a bus with speeding, okay, the bus is going 4 miles an hour, a little school bus, no shaking. It goes 40 miles an hour, no shaking. It goes 78 miles an hour, well, then there's shaking. It goes 300 miles an hour, the school bus going 300 miles an hour. We are on a world that's going 300 miles an hour, and there's shaking related to that. So if we start to put this together, we have speed, and then you have acceleration. This leads to volatility. Have you seen any volatility in the market? I mean, the ups and downs of everything. So you see speed,
mostly down,
and volatility, and that leads to shaking, and that leads to chaos. And all of those things were there. We're in all of those things. Hmm. And I want just a little aside here to say that, you know, I'm concerned about the United States. I'm concerned about all of us. God is too, but what, frankly, I'm most concerned about is India and Africa. If this really takes hold there, the toll just could be unthinkable, and I just hope and pray for those areas. Now, there's a lot of coverage on television and radio and the Internet and billions of social media posts, and a lot of it is helpful in keeping us informed, and I watch a lot of it, and some of it is confusing, and there's argument and fear and chaos there, too. But I'd like to turn in another direction to the spiritual world. I view our spiritual journeys as adventures with God. I have for some time. This is an adventure with God. Adventures have ups and downs. It doesn't mean it's purely, you know, a joyride at Disneyland. I mean, they have ups and downs and twists and turns, but This is a special kind of adventure, perhaps a once-in-a-century adventure with God. And this adventure has both visible and invisible components. But the unseen world is where the real action is. There's all this action in the seen world, but the unseen world is always where the real action is. So one thing we should not do is write our stories too large. Don't make our narrative too large. You know, we're concerned about ourselves and our families, and so is God. But this is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it always has been. It's not about our house or car or bank account or our kids. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So just keep that in perspective. What's God doing here? What's Christ doing here? So how do we respond to that? Well, I don't have prescriptions for you. Prescriptions are for margin. For hurdling, we need transcendence. We have to rise above. We have to transcend circumstances. Let's seek to live above circumstances, to be overcomers. And that's how we get ahead of this. And in order to do that, you have to get the invisible right. Because you're not going to transcend unless it be good. Transcendence comes from the invisible realm. So our job is to stand and not faint, to walk into storms, to fight with truth and love. The Bible says these are our weapons. To pray, to thank God for the privilege of living now, to accept suffering with gratitude. I mean, this is a big list. I mean, it's just difficult stuff.
But it calls to mind, I think, the full breadth of your writing, which one of the last was contentment. And thinking about 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, even amidst the trial and challenge like this. Richard Swenson, stick with us. Maybe just another question or two if we can come back. Fascinating, his brilliant mind boiling down all of that into that. Coming up, a couple more moments with Dr. Richard Swenson, author of many books, one of the more recent, Contentment. But just curious, as a retired doctor, medical educator, a Christian futurist, in terms of one of the things some people are wrestling with, it seems, is this reaction in terms of the U.S. And it seems to be agreement even from people. We had Mike Gallagher, the congressman from Green Bay, saying, yeah, early on we maybe weren't testing. We had problems in terms of getting the testing out the way we could have. But what about the reaction in here? Because this is what's I'm talking to my mom, who's 80. She's like, I've never seen anything, experienced this. What about the reaction here, Dr. Swenson?
Of individuals, you mean?
Of the government, in terms of the extensive measures here under emergency order on the national and state level, in terms of being told, you know, closing down businesses, etc.
Because
some are saying, boy, the death toll is we've had large numbers who died from the swine flu, and we didn't react like this. So what do you say back? What's your take on that?
Yeah, this is something different. This is something different. And you see how contagious this is and how devastating it is for older people. And so I think we really do have to take it seriously. And we're still at we don't know if we're at 10% in, 20% in, 35% in, 50%. We're not at 50%. I mean, we're maybe at 20, 25%. So you're going to, once you test everybody and find out who's actually out there, and once this thing really grabs hold, you're going to see a lot of deaths. I mean, we have to prepare for that, and it's going to last for a while. So it isn't a made-up fiction. It's really out there. But young people will survive it quite well. I think young people, if they get over it and don't have any problems and they're laid off from their work for a month, go out and help other people, because you'll have an immunity, and you could be wonderful in terms of, you know, come and help me, because I can't go out. I'm probably a person who would not survive it if I got the influenza, not the influenza, but the coronavirus. So, yeah, it's going to be a real challenge, but continue to watch, because the developments are happening so rapidly, and we watched that unfold on television. Remember, this is only a few weeks in, so,
And then you're in your 70s, is that right?
72. Yeah.
72. And I'll close on this, and I don't think you'll mind, is that I had a chance to be at your wife's memorial service. Yeah. That's the last time I saw you. And I said to Caleb and Hillary off air, I said, you know, it was a life well lived when most of the people at your memorial agree that, yes, she was the kindest person I ever met. I mean, can you just briefly acknowledge the way that she lived, and maybe using that as an example for us during these challenging times?
she would drop anything that she was doing. She was brilliant. She was beautiful. But world-class kindness is what stood out. She would drop anything at any moment to go help somebody, even a stranger. If she found out something was going on, and she'd go to that house, she'd knock on the door, she'd walk right in, she'd start helping. Everybody loved her for that. Even their strangers, who are you? But this is the way she lived her life for years and years and decades. And boy, do I miss her. The world misses her because, you know, she just had this world, that special effect on people. And that's also, you know, she's a model to me. And everybody who knew her, I think, the same, to give their lives really almost recklessly to others. And she didn't care about the consequences. She's totally unspoiled, totally unspoiled. She didn't need anything. She just needed people to love and people to serve.
Yeah.
And okay. People to be kind to.
Richard Swenson, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes. And I'd appreciate it if you could be available as we go through this roller coaster ride of life together, that, you know, maybe from time to time we can call on you for some insight, okay?
Okay, Mark. God bless you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Yeah. Richard Swenson, WWIB. Check out any of his books and you'll be blessed. Contentment would be nice right now. Godliness with contentment is great gain, living with that kind of kindness that his wife modeled so well. 28 degrees, WWIB, sunshine, enjoying that as we come up on 13 before 9 o'clock. And Caleb, slowly but surely, some pledges are trickling in here for Andrew Draper from FCA, going to be our guest shooter.
Absolutely. Remember, we have the big MyCon movie, family movie and pizza party package to give to one of our pledges at the end of the week, and also two MyCon Cinemas movie passes to give to one of our pledges before 9 o'clock today. For Andrew Draper from Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, we have Frank this morning, Sierra Cody, and then, Andrew, some folks that you might know pretty well, Tommy with $3 per made basket, EJ with $2 per made basket, and Dante with $5 per made basket. Big spender here.
Yeah, darn right. Those are the kids at home right now. Somehow Tommy, the little 10-month-old, managed to outspend his 4-year-old sister. So I don't know where he's getting that cash from.
Yeah, right. Now, I mean, and again, speaking of the 4-year-old sister, speaking of EJ, I mean, she was pretty generous with Daddy as well, too, it sounds like. So.
Yeah, she told me before I left that she was going to give me $1 per shot. And then she said, but because I love you so much, I'll give you 2. So
there you go.
I guess
EJ, you are precious. So
I love you to the moon.
And again, a lot going on these days too with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and things are probably in flux a lot for you guys. But so much of your ministry takes place in school, before school, and with these FCA huddles too. And so I know you guys are continuing to figure out what ministry looks like in the days ahead, because it has to continue, however it can.
Yes, for sure. We're very aware that we have plenty of teenagers out there that have plenty of extra time on their hands. So we'll be adjusting to the technology side of communication, I guess, and maybe even some smaller group connections. But yeah, we were going from a whole winter long of traveling around to schools and speaking and visiting with student leaders and coaches and planning for summer camps. And now everything is up in the air. But we're trusting that we know that there's a plan for all this, man. I just really hope that the big summer camps don't get canceled, because those are massively impactful and they're the highlight of the year for us. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, let's do what we need to now so that we can get to
for
the other
sure.
side, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, well, great to have you in. Andrew, we're taking some more pledges. 396-1670 steps up, coming up, and somebody's also going to win a pair of passes for MyCon Cinema.
All right, we're back. Are you ready? He says he's ready. I don't know. He's starting with the orange ball. Okay, here
Andrew
we go.
Andrew Draper from FCA.
Orange ball is up. Oh, it's a little. And what is the number we're trying to beat? 2?
2 is how many
two.
Johnny
okay.
had.
You can do this, Andrew. Red ball, up, and it's in. The second ball was in. Third ball, up, and oh, in. A little bounce there. I wasn't sure. So you've now tied Johnny.
2 out of 3.
There's no shame in that. Here we go. It's up. It's in. Oh. 3 of 4. Last one up and in. 4 of 5.
Mental toughness.
Well done. That was solid. How do you come on over? How do you feel?
I feel good. That was the goal that I told my kids when I left.
There you go.
4 of 4 out of 5. That's going to be tough for Rip to beat later today.
Well done.
All right. We'll tally it up and let you know after a tune or two who goes away with the pair of passes for MyCon Cinema FCA, and again, if people want to learn more, get involved after we get beyond the challenges or even have questions during this this time we're in, what do they do?
WisconsinFCA.org or just Google Wisconsin FCA.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just check out the cool new camp videos that we put up recently that Johnny worked on. And I don't know, go to FCA.org as well, because nationwide there's fantastic stuff happening.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.